Well, we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I'd like to share a little bit on the subject of making God's word our own. Making God's word our own. And in verse 17, it says, so then faith, or believing, could be translated believing, the Greek word pistis, translated both ways. So then faith, or believing, cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God is a necessary thing in order to receive the things of God. Hearing God's word is a great, great, wonderful thing. It can lead us unto salvation. It leads us into the wholeness in our lives in every way. But there's something that's even more important than hearing the word of God, and that is believing the word of God. Because if you hear it but don't believe it, the benefits are not there for you, per se. God's mercy is still on your life, but believing the word of God is what brings into fruition the great promises of his word. And if we just back up a few verses, verse 9, we'll look at that. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Which is a great thing to know, that salvation is so simple. All we have to do is what we just read there. But you'll notice believing is part of those words in there. Doesn't say just hearing. But believe in thine heart. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth. Not just the hearing. Hearing is a necessary thing. But it's the believing of what we're hearing is what really brings it into fruition. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. Hebrews, James. Chapter 1 is just before chapter 2. I know that'd be helpful, right? James, chapter 1. So, Danielle, you don't have to listen. I mean, I guess you have to listen because you don't know what's coming up. But... You don't have to laugh at my humor. It's not a requirement, just so you know. You don't get any extra money for laughing at my jokes. Okay, chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding him his natural face in a glass or a mirror, for he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. It's like going into a bathroom, whatever, looking at the mirror, you see yourself, you turn around, you walk away and you say, what do I look like again? Let me take another look. And then you go back and there's all these cracks on the mirror. Oh, maybe I shouldn't look. No, it's just that's how what God likens it unto. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What a promise that one is. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. A couple books to your left. 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, or if it's electronic, I don't know what you do. A couple pushes, I guess. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, now the end of the commandment, not the last word of the commandment, but the end result type of thing, the end purpose, so to speak. The end of the commandment, what it's there for, is charity, or love of God, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith, or believing unfeigned. The end result, the end purpose of the Word of God is so that the love of God is lived. There's believing involved, which, you know, we don't learn and grow in this just to know more stuff. You know, that would be, I mean, it just, it's nice to know, but it's better to apply. Like, some people have a real interest in certain subjects, and they learn and learn and learn and learn a lot about it, but never involve themselves with that learning. You know, they don't put it into practical application. So the end of the reason for the commandment, you know, the end result and reason is, you know, that there's believing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at the, there's a parable that Jesus Christ taught, and it's recorded in all the Gospels. It's called the parable of the sower and the seed. And perhaps you've read it a number of times, worked it perhaps. I just thought it'd be great to look at again. It's still true today, as true today as it was the day it was taught, and it was true before Jesus Christ taught it. But it shows the Word of God being taught, people hearing it, and what they do with it. And I remember the first time hearing this parable, I said, I want to be number four, you know, the fourth sower, seed, a person that had the word sown to him. So we're going to look at it starting in verse 13:3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he goes on to some other things concerning hearing. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 18. And it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to explain what this thing means. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, a key word in this verse is the word understandeth. And we'll read it again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. And the word understandeth, according to E.W. Bollinger, it means to bring together, to collect together the single features of an object into a whole. Which is, you know, you ever heard the expression, putting all the pieces together, now I understand. That's this word. Or connecting the dots, you know, you're connecting the dots with this thing. That's this word. Or a detective, maybe he's in charge of figuring out who killed the person. It's a mystery. He's getting all these bits of information, but his job is to take all these bits and put them together so that it makes something, so that they now understand, okay, that guy is the one that did it. He done it. The enemy says, he done it. But that's what this means, to bring together, to collect together the single features of an object into a whole, to comprehend, to understand, to be earnestly occupied with the object, to ponder, to lay to heart. So that's what the word understand means. So here in verse 19, when it says about the first person to receive, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, they're hearing the words, but they're not putting it back, you know, they're not connecting it to us. They're not trying to put it together in their own thinking. They're not thinking about it. and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which was received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, this is the second person, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, or immediately with joy receives it. They're all excited about it. It's a great thing. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, which means immediately, he is offended. He stumbles. He falls out. He no longer stays in that knowledge of God's word. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The word was living in the individual's life, but other things came in and crowded it out to the end that it no longer was fruitful in their lives. But, and this is the one I always wanted to be. verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and what? Understandeth. It's the same word where you're connecting the dots, where you're taking this piece and that piece and that piece and you're putting the puzzle together so you see the whole picture. You're working it in your thinking. You're working it in your heart. You're thinking about it. you're placing it into your life. That person, which also hears and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's the person that actually benefits from the greatness of God's word. All people could benefit, but not all people do. And what we want to do is make the word of God our own. We don't want to be the first seed, the first person sowed to where it's immediately snatched away because you didn't think about it. I don't know how many things have been told to me in my lifetime that I didn't think about it once it was spoken to me. And I don't even know what they said at this point. And most of it's good that it's gone. You know, you hear something on the nose, goes in one ear, maybe you moves around in there for a little bit, and then goes out. But the word, we want it to go in one ear, stay in that gray matter, and never see the other side of the head. You know, we want it to come out of the center mouth, the center hole there. But, it's what we decide to think about and ponder about and lay in our heart and put together that is going to be what we manifest. And of all things, is there anything greater than to what God's word says? Unbelievable. Just hearing manifestations and hearing God say, I want to take care of you. I do take care of you. I am faithful. My promises are true. I got you covered. I mean, who wakes up and hears that? That's a nice thing. Or to be able to actually manifest that. To know what speaking in tongues is, to know what the interpretation of tongues is, and to be able to do it the way God instructs to do it. What a joy. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple examples of people doing this or not doing this understanding thing. And we're going to look at Jesus Christ's disciples. Chapter 16. And this is a process we all go through and continue to do every day, where we're trying to put together the Word of God and keep it in our lives, making it our own. Chapter 16, verse 6, it says, And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread. What happened is his apostles were on a boat. They're with Jesus Christ. They forgot the bread. and he's warning them about the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Of course, leaven is a figure of speech here, used for bread. So I guess they're thinking, I guess he's kind of jabbing us here. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he saith unto them, O ye of little believing, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? They had just witnessed this big miracle, Jesus feeding all these people with a few things of bread and fishes. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They were putting it together, the pieces, they had just connected the dots. Oh, okay. Not because we were kind of stupid and forgot our bread. It's something totally different. They were connecting the dots, they connected, the light bulbs went off, and voila, they had an understanding of what he was talking about. Chapter 17, verse 10. But they were endeavoring to do that. Chapter 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listest. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. They didn't know who Elias was. He says this thing, and they put the pieces together, and they now had an understanding. Mark chapter 6. But part of it is you have to have a desire to want to put this stuff together. Want to have that stuff flopping in your brain and thinking about it and weighing it and trying to get it. Some of it's very simple. Chapter 6, verse 46. Same deal here. And when he had sent them away, this is right after he fed 5,000, one of the miracles he just made reference of. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them, referring to these apostles, toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them. You know, here it is. Jesus Christ really walking on the water here. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, hey, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't get scared. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in himself beyond measure and wondered. I mean, they just were, their jaws dropped. They knew who it was. They just saw the Lord Jesus Christ about to walk by them and decided, all right, I'll get in. And they're just flabbergasted. Verse 52. And they considered not, or for, they wondered all this stuff, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The reason why they didn't consider the miracle that they just had witnessed is that their heart were hardened. And the word hardened, basically it means to cover over with a thick skin. It's a covering. It's something, you ever hear the expression, you know, that person's thick skinned? You know, they can take a lot of abuse, I guess, or criticism, and it just doesn't seem to shake them up because they're thick-skinned. It's not because literally they're like a rhinoceros. It's just that their brain just doesn't allow all that stuff in to bother them. Now, metaphorically, it basically means to make the heart dull, to grow hard, to become dull, or lose the power of understanding. So they could have learned something from the fact that Jesus Christ was walking on water, a little unusual. They could have learned something from the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, but because of the hardness of their heart, they weren't putting it together at this moment in their lives. So let's go to Psalm 119. So those guys, those apostles, those disciples were growing in God's word, and they were endeavoring to put things together, but they weren't always doing it. When they weren't, it was because their hearts were hardened. They weren't allowing it to soak in. And I just wanted to read a couple verses in Psalm. when it comes to doing this stuff, it's something that we choose to do. Psalm 119, and we're going to start with verse 9. I love this scripture. It's got a great question here. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Or you could think of it as, you know, how do you clean up your act? You know, I know I got to change. How do I clean up my act? So that's a great question. So the answer is by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. That's how we clean up our acts, by going to God's word. And then verse 10. With my half heart with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid. Who did the hiding? God. The psalmist, David. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You hear the word I a lot, right? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, that's how it gets done. You make a decision, or I make a decision. Okay, I'm going to study. I'm going to think. I'm going to look towards God's word. It doesn't happen automatically. I remember when I first took the Powerful Abundant Living books. I came home from college. I had just taken it, and I put the books that came with the class on the shelf, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to grab a book every day and study it. And a couple days go by, and I hadn't touched them, and a couple more days go by, and I hadn't touched them. Almost a week or two went by, and I didn't touch them. I was like, I guess I got to decide to actually pick up the book and put it in front of me and start reading. And then I found out, oh yeah, it works better that way. But it doesn't do it on its own. It doesn't do it on its own. He helps us in as we're doing it, but we have to decide. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. He got the Bible out and he put it in front of him and he started reading. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I'm going to go your way. Verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I, a lot of I's here, I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. He thought about what he was doing in life and made a change, because it says he turned his ways unto the Lord. He realized, uh-oh, I'm not doing what God says to do. And then he made that turn, which is what we do when we make God's word our own. We're making it our own, and we're turning towards what those words say to do. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. So he got robbed, and all he did thought about for the next 2 weeks was how those lousy bastards just stole from him. That's what he thought about. No. It says, the hands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. He's just going to stick to it. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation, or it is my meditation, just the first 5 minutes of the day. No. All day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I wonder why. He spent a lot of time in God's Word. He put a lot of dots together. For thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Just amazing. You know, it was his decision, and then he made the actions accordingly. remember the old Tuit? There was a, you know, people still say it, but I think it was more prevalent years ago. I'll take care of that when I get around to it. So believers started cutting out these little round things, and it had the word to it on there. Oh, here's your round to it now. Go do it. But we decide, just like that psalmist, I am going to place God's word in front of my eyeballs. And we are the ones to make it our own. And as we do that, we are that seed number four, or hearer number four. We don't want to be the number one one where it did get sown in his heart, but it got lost in the sauce immediately because there was no bringing it up. So it's just a great thing to be able to make God's word our own, and you know, to decide to grow and to decide to walk with the great power, and keep it fresh and flowing. Nothing better to it. So I'd like to play a song. I know I usually don't play music afterwards, but there's a song that just a blessing. I thought we'd listen to it together. I don't even know the name of the song. it's a woman named Anna Cushingham, I think is the name of the singer. I think it's Anna Cushingham. But anyway, here it is.
Cast your care tonight, the God of peace, gonna make it alright. Just remember to keep your eyes on Him. Just remember that what lies within His word, well, it's true, and it is everlasting. His promises are faithful. Just believe them and sing. Be at peace and cast your care tonight. The God of peace gonna make it all right. Just remember to keep your eyes on Him. Just remember that what lies within His word is true. It is everlasting. His promises are faithful. just believe them and say, be at peace. Cast your care tonight, the God of peace. Gonna make it all alright, just remember to keep your eyes on him, just remember. That what lies within his word is truth, and it is everlasting. His promises are faithful, just believe them and sing. Be at peace,
be at peace.
Cast your cares tonight, the God of peace. Gonna make it.
And true, for sure. Well, I remember a little 18-year-old kid not knowing anything about God's word, and somebody spoke it to me, and I said, that's what I want. I was verse 9 of that, how the hell do I clean up my act? And I got the answer. So, but what a joy to be able to day after day and year after year and decade after decade, and maybe for some of us century after century, just keep making God's word our own. Just keep placing it there and manifesting it. Just a great life. Till the Lord comes back. So it's wonderful.